Today is the second Sunday of the season of Advent. And Advent comes before Christmas because it is a time when we are invited to prepare for God's coming into this world. God coming both as the child at Christmas, but in the time that is to come. Now, because of this, some people feel that Advent is a time of heightened anxiety because they're waiting for God's presence and not sure what's going to happen, but it shouldn't be like that. It's not like you're being sent to the principal's office. Ultimately, the message of Advent should be joy, great joy, joy that God loves us so dearly, that God is willing to enter into our lives and bless us in person. And then behind that joy is a foundation of hope. Hope that the world in which we live will be made different. That the world will be made better by God. That this world will be fulfilled by the kingdom of heaven. In this sermon series, we are reading stories about Mary, which we find in the Gospel of Luke. Luke tells us how the angel Gabriel first visits the priest Zechariah with the news that his wife Elizabeth will soon conceive and give birth to a son. But in his fear and anxiety, Zechariah questions the plausibility of the potential miracle which has been announced by the angel. Kind of hard to believe he did that, but he did. And after all, he and his wife have had no children, and they're both getting along in years, and he's not sure how this is going to work out. So Zechariah, he asked for a sign. And by sign, I'm assuming he's thinking about maybe a bolt of lightning or a mild earth tremor, just something to show that the angel is saying what he's saying. But instead, the angel strikes him mute for the duration of his wife's pregnancy. He can't talk the entire time until the child is born. And remember, he's a priest. All he's got is words, so that pretty much shut him down. Not the sign that he was expecting. 6 months after the angel visits Zechariah, the same angel sent by God to another place, to Nazareth, to find a woman named Mary. Mary is described as being a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. In other words, Mary is a young woman, probably in her teens, who has a fiance, and she's planning to settle down to what will probably be an inconspicuous life in a small village in the province of Galilee, never to be heard from again. But the visit from the angel changes all that. The angel goes to this young woman and tells her, "You have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Favor with God? Son of the Most High? Throne of David? This is all news to Mary. I doubt any of these things were on her getting ready to get married bingo card. So she asks the angel how it can be, since she has not known a man. This can't happen. The angel replies, telling her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Gabriel then tells Mary about her relative Elizabeth, who by this point is 6 months pregnant. Mary responds then with one of the greatest confessions of faith when she says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And she accepts all that the angel has told her, and the angel departs. In our reading for today, that story continues. Now, having heard the news from the angel, Mary quickly heads south from Galilee down to Judea, to the town where Elizabeth lives. And when she enters Elizabeth's house, and when she greets her cousin, that child in Elizabeth's stomach jumps, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. She says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now take a moment. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. What could it mean that the Holy Spirit would come upon her? That she would give birth to the Messiah? Now, we know what it means today, more or less. But imagine being Mary then and hearing this news. How overwhelming this all must have been. Who then could she turn to? Who would understand what the angel had said to her? So Mary decides that Elizabeth is who she needs to go see. And the trip to visit her cousin wouldn't be an easy one. Nazareth to Judea would have been a trip of several difficult days. Ironically, this is a trip that Mary will make again, right before her due date, when she and Joseph are forced to travel to Bethlehem because of the census. But she makes the trip, and we come to this wonderful, tender scene when Mary greets Elizabeth. She enters into the house of Zechariah, and as she approaches her cousin, the child within Elizabeth leaps within her womb. And Elizabeth is suddenly filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth exclaims to Mary, "Blessed are you among women." So what does it mean to be blessed? Does Elizabeth call Mary blessed simply because Mary is now pregnant? I mean, Elizabeth had certainly known the pain of not having a child. Does she call Mary blessed because Mary's life will not be as hers has been? Elizabeth has already told us of the disgrace that she had endured from her community for being childless all these years. Is Mary blessed? Is she calling Mary blessed simply because Mary will be free from that stigma and that pain? I think it's more than that. But the question I have for you now is, how exactly is it that Mary is blessed? Why is Mary blessed? Was she blessed because she was born with this superpower faith that she's somehow better than most people in this world? Or is she just a normal person who's been chosen by God and therefore touched by God's grace? And this makes her blessed. And what I want to focus on this morning, as we look at this question, is blessings. I want to talk about the divine gift of being blessed, the ways in which we are blessed, and consequently our call to become a blessing to others. Mary's blessing here is by no means the first blessing that we encounter in Scripture. Creation itself begins with a blessing. In Genesis 1, the very first thing that God does after creating the humans is to bless them. We read, "So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them." God didn't simply create us just so that we might exist. No. We were created to be a blessing. God didn't create us so that God could test us or judge us or just sit back and watch as we struggle day to day. God created us to bless us. That is God's love for us in action, that we are blessed. That's how it started. But something happened. Somewhere along the way, the brokenness of this world caused us to forget that we are blessed by God. You could even say that this is the root of all the problems in our world, forgetting that we are divinely blessed. We see this, first of all, with Adam and Eve. They forget how blessed they truly are, and they sinned. They wanted something that they weren't supposed to have. And ever since, we too have shared in their sin. We too have forgotten how blessed we are. But God had a plan. God had a plan to bless the world all over again, and the plan had a name. And the name is Jesus. And Jesus was born into this broken world to remind us of God's desire to bless us. And Jesus spent his life in ministry doing just that. He blessed those who had been forgotten. He blessed the poor, the hungry, those who were weeping, the hated, the cursed, the despised, the broken. He blessed them all. He was born to bless us, and he died to bless us. Even his final act on this earth, as he was ascending into heaven, was to offer a blessing to his disciples. We read in Luke's gospel, "Then Jesus led the disciples out as far as the town of Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he was carried up into heaven." From beginning to end, Jesus' life was a blessing. For that is what Jesus came to do, to bless this world, to bless us. His mission was a blessing. And consequently, our mission as the church is to continue that work. We are called to be a blessing ourselves. Jesus was human. Jesus needed a blessing. At the start of his ministry, the Holy Spirit calls him to the Jordan River, where he is baptized by his cousin John, the child of Elizabeth. And as he's coming up out of the water of his baptism, Jesus hears this voice, the voice of his heavenly Father, who is blessing him, saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." There's no truer blessing than that. Jesus was truly human, and as one of us, he needed this blessing. For it was a blessing like no other. For God to say, "You are my son, the beloved." There's a beautiful book by the late priest Henry Nouwen. This book is about that blessing from God to Jesus. The book is called Life of the Beloved. And in this book, Nouwen shares his belief that this blessing that God gave to Jesus at the baptism is the very same blessing given to us through Jesus. We too are God's beloved. We can claim that title. God is indeed pleased with us. As Nouwen writes in this book, those words, "You are my beloved," reveals the most intimate truth about all human beings. The truth that God created us to bless us and to love us. And all human beings created by God are God's beloved. What a blessing this world would be if all human beings actually believed this. If we truly believe that we have all been placed in this world to be blessed and loved by God. Nouwen goes on saying, "It is certainly not easy to hear that voice, the voice which calls us God's beloved, in this world which is filled with voices that are all shouting, 'You are no good. You are worthless. You are despicable. You are nobody.' These negative voices are so loud and persistent that it is easy to believe them. So how important is it, given this, to be reminded that we are God's beloved, not because of what we do, but because of who we are? We were created to be blessed by God and to be loved by God, each and every one of us. You are God's beloved, and nothing you will do can change that. Believe this blessing. Hold on to it, even when the world tries to make you forget it. But it doesn't end there. It can't, because there are too many people in this world who simply don't believe that they are loved by God. I mean, they're struggling simply to love themselves. You can't convince them that they're loved by God as well. And the only way that this will happen, the only way that it can happen, is for us to step in and do something about it. The secret is that we've been blessed. But we've been blessed to be a blessing ourselves. We are loved in order to love. We are forgiven in order to forgive. That's our purpose. That is our being. That is the purpose of all who know and believe that they are God's beloved. The purpose is to return that love. To return that love to God, to ourselves, but to our world. One last time, Henry Nouwen on what it means to be a blessing. He says, to bless means to say good things. We have to bless one another constantly. In our society, which is so full of curses, we must fill each place we enter with our blessings. We forget so quickly that indeed we are God's beloved children, and we allow the many curses of our world to darken our hearts. Therefore, we have to be reminded of our belovedness, and we must remind others of theirs. Yes, in this broken world of ours, which is so loved by God, people need desperately to be reminded of God's belovedness. The world needs to be blessed. So coming back to the question I asked earlier, was Mary chosen by God because she was special, or was she special because she was chosen by God? I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did, but it doesn't really matter, because I think the answer is really somewhere in between. But what makes Mary special here is that she recognized God's blessing in her life. She recognized, yes, that she was blessed, and she accepted her role in sharing that blessing with others. Her cousin says, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you among people," but especially women, because Mary accepted the call to accept the Messiah, to be the mother to the Messiah, the one who would bring God's blessing to the world. She gave herself to be part of God's great plan. She understood the blessing in her life. You can call that her superpower, but it's one that we can all share with her. She gave of herself, "Here am I, O Lord, your servant," to share God's blessing with a world that had forgotten it. And in this season of Advent, may that be our mission as well, to share the blessedness of God. Amen.